My sheep, my shepherd. My sheep, my shepherd. I'd like to take the message from two different passages of Scripture. John chapter 10, about verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Another place we'd like to use as our text this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those two passages of the Scripture teach great, fundamental, doctrinal, factual, Bible truths. You can take the passage there in John, begin about in verse 26, where Jesus says, "You believe not because you are not of my sheep," and go on down through about verse 30, where Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." And you can take that passage of Scripture and teach 10 doctrinal, foundational principles of salvation by grace. Jesus said it right there just about as well as it could be said concisely. And we've tried to do that before, teach those 10 principles from that passage. And you can take Psalm 23, and you could right nicely break that down into 12 points about the providence of God for His people. Factual lessons, Bible truths, God's promises for His people. Eternal salvation, John 10, providence of God, Psalm 23. We could teach the facts and the truths to the head, to the mind. And we need to love Him with our mind. Sometimes that's my way of thinking, is just the facts. Remember Sergeant Joe Friday from Dragnet? And he'd say, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." She'd be all off in the whys and wherefores and how all this had felt to her and all these things, and he wanted just the facts. Well, there's a place for just the facts. And we need the facts. Thy word is truth, and we need those truths, and those truths are foundational and fundamental, and we worship with truth. He that worships me must worship in spirit and in truth. But sometimes we need a little of the spirit too, don't we? Sometimes we need more than just the facts. Sometimes we need the feelings. These two passages. The first of them you think of as more of a factual thing. And Psalm 23, that's pretty much thought of as feelings, isn't it? That's why people love it. That's why perhaps it's the most favorite. But both of those passages express the deepest feelings. It's hard to express feelings. I can express facts with words, but I have difficulty expressing feelings with words. But feelings are real. And feelings are important. And it's important to love God with your mind and with the truth of things, but it's important to love God with your spirit, with your soul, with your heart, with the feelings of things. There's one word in both of those passages that I think is so important. It's been on my mind for 3 days now, and I'm just wanting to try to express to you some of the things that I believe the Spirit has expressed to me. Things of feeling. Surrounding that little word, my. My sheep. Isn't that awesome? And in those words that come after that, Jesus expresses his deepest feelings, his commitment, his determination to eternally secure each one of those sheep in his fold, my sheep. And then the response of one of those little sheep, my shepherd, my shepherd. To me, there's so much feeling expressed in those two words, those two statements, those two phrases, my sheep and my shepherd. May the Lord bless us this morning to share some factual, fundamental truths, but to try to at the same time express the feelings of this shepherd toward his sheep and of a sheep toward this shepherd. My sheep, hear my voice. Now that's a fundamental truth. That's the new birth. That's regeneration. That's verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Shall hear, shall live. Whose voice? The voice of the shepherd. My sheep, hear my voice. The same as the wind bloweth where it listeth, and so it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. The same as no man can come to Jesus except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Regeneration. The calling of God, the effectual voice of Jesus Christ speaking and giving life to the dead, dead to spiritual things, sinner. Has natural life, but no spiritual life. That little sheep hears Jesus' the shepherd's voice, and he or she lives. That's the facts of it. That's the foundational principle of it. That's the new birth aspect of my sheep hear my voice. That's the doctrine. Let's look at it from the shepherd's angle. What does this mean, my sheep hear my voice? Well, it means that he goes and gets them and borns them again and gives them the new birth and gives them spiritual eternal life and prepares them, vitally speaking, for glory. Oh yeah, those are doctrinal truths. But from the shepherd's vantage point, as he's thinking about one of his personal little sheep, my sheep, my sheep. What does Jesus do for each one of his particular sheep? We've got some good shepherd teachings in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 18. Jesus says, what do you think about this? What say you to this? Matthew chapter 18 verse 12. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, one sheep, not in the fold. What do you think a shepherd would think about this? This would be a good shepherd now. If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's the shepherd's. That's the metaphor. That's this shepherd, and he realizes there's one sheep not in the fold. And I have to find that sheep. He's my Father's sheep. David in 1 Samuel chapter 17 said, I was keeping my Father's sheep. And that was an important mission. And I had every one of them in the fold, under control, under my protection, my Father's sheep. But there was a lion and a bear that came in, and I went and I slew the lion and the bear, and I restored that one sheep out of the lion's mouth back to the fold. What if one sheep be gone astray? The shepherd goes to the mountains and seeks and finds that which is lost. And how does Luke say it? Luke gets into some feelings here, it seems to me, when he describes this shepherd bringing the sheep back. Luke 15, verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And look at how he brings it back. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The shepherd's rejoicing. He has his sheep. It's my sheep. And it's on his shoulders. And he's carrying that sheep to the fold. He's gone and found it. It's heard his voice. He has spoken, and it shall live. And it shall come.
When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The shepherd bringing that sheep back to the fold, having gone and found it, it heard his voice, and he's brought it home, and there's rejoicing in the mind of the shepherd. My sheep has heard my voice. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sheep that's been turned and brought back. My sheep hear my voice. From the shepherd's vantage point, that's a great time of rejoicing, and when that sheep is called home. Let's go back to John chapter 10. In that passage there where it speaks of God's people as being Jesus' sheep, let's start in verse 7 and let's read a few verses here. And let's see this from the shepherd's vantage point. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The door is the way the sheep would enter. There's just one door. There's just one shepherd. There's just one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door to the sheep to come into the fold. There's no way to bypass Him to come into that fold. He speaks, and you shall hear and shall live. He goes and retrieves that which was lost. He seeks to the far reaches of the mountains, carries that sheep home on His shoulders. He's the door, the entryway for that sheep to come into the fold. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Don't hear the voice there. Hear a particular voice, the voice of the shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Life, eternal life, life, peace, joy, abundant life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That is a good shepherd. That's commitment. That's what he thinks about my sheep. I give my life for him. Is there feeling there? Does he care? Is he real? Or is he like one of these false shepherds, one of these that would pretend to be concerned about his sheep? He went all the way. For every little sheep that's his, he went all the way. I give my life for my sheep. He that is an hireling, somebody that really didn't care, somebody that didn't have these feelings, somebody that didn't have this love, the hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. They're not his sheep, so he doesn't care about them. He's just being paid a wage, so he would run for his life. He wouldn't give himself for the sheep, but that's different with me. They're my sheep. They're mine. I'm not the hired one to watch over them. They're mine. They're personally mine. I own them. They're my father's. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, he sees the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. There's the difference. The care. The love. My sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. That's the principle we're looking for right there for the morning, quite honestly. I know my sheep more than intellectual awareness. That's the foundation of everything. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Is that just intellectual awareness? No. It's intimate oneness. As when Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. That personal one-on-one loving relationship between God and His children that's pictured best in our way of thinking through the marriage relationship of a man and his wife. That's what that means to know in biblical terms, in biblical thinking. I know my sheep intimately. Love in the most personal way, where the two become one. I know my sheep and am known of mine. That's the basis of it all. That's the very foundation of the foundations. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. According to that tender, everlasting love that nothing can ever separate you from. That's all wrapped up in that Jesus knowing His sheep. More than aware of their every movement, more than aware of every hair upon their head. Love. Love in the deepest, most wonderful, eternal way. I know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me. As much as God loves Jesus, Jesus loves those sheep. John 17, Jesus said, Father, you show them that you love them as you have loved me. That personal love, but that deep and intimate love. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. According to that love, I lay down my life for the sheep. According to the love that a husband would have for his wife. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That kind of relationship, that kind of tenderness, that kind of expression of love. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, Gentiles of all nations. Them also I must bring. I'll go find them. They'll hear my voice. I'll bring them in on my shoulders. I know them too. I love them. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In obedience to my Father, I lay down my life, but in love for my sheep, I'm willing, without hesitation, to go to that cross and to lay down my life for those sheep. The cross is an expression of that love, the love that Jesus has for His sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. We've already referred to the theological principles of what that signifies to know them, as far as that's the foundation of all things, and that's the intimate love that was even the basis for election and predestination and for Jesus giving His life and for the Spirit going and giving the life to the individuals and for the forever being with Jesus. It's all based and founded in that love, that I know them, that kind of theological, doctrinal kind of teaching. But to sort of mix the metaphors, we're talking about sheep and shepherd. Let's talk about husband and wife. We've kind of brought that metaphor into the picture, that kind of thinking about Jesus Christ, that husband and wife thing, where in Song of Solomon 2 and 6, he describes Him in this relationship of intimate oneness. This relationship that describes Jesus' feeling for His bride in the picture of husband and wife. It says in Song of Solomon 2 and 6 that He has His left hand under her head, and with His right hand He doth embrace her. That's bringing in the metaphor of husband and wife. And from the wife's point of view, in Song of Solomon chapter 3, we find these words, I have found Him and held Him and will not let Him go. That's what it is to know in the marriage relationship. The sheep's affection for the shepherd, the shepherd's affection for the sheep. the husband's affection for his wife and the wife's affection for her husband. All wrapped up in this, I know them, my sheep. I know them. Ezekiel 16 and 8 takes this metaphor of husband and wife. Tells us a little bit about it. Now when I passed by thee, this is God, this is the shepherd, this is Jesus, and looked upon thee, behold thy time, the time of thy love was come. Thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee. That's a description of that relationship where they embrace. And covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee. The Bible describes marriage as a covenant of companionship. That's what's described here is the marriage covenant, the marriage relationship. I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. The two became one. She was officially his. The relationship of marriage. Describing what it is to know in biblical terms. One more place let's go to. It'll kind of bring this thing together in a really unique sort of way. Hosea chapter 2 verse 18. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. A covenant of marriage, they incorporate something else there. Even a covenant with the creation. That there'll be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more battles. A time of happiness, peace that waits. In that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. That's the marriage again right there. I will betroth thee to me forever. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord. There it is right there. Thou shalt know the Lord. Betrothed unto the Lord enters into that relationship, the husband and the wife, the Lord and his bride, and she shall know him. They'll have that intimate oneness of that relationship that Ezekiel describes, that Hosea describes, that Paul describes in Ephesians, that Solomon described in Song of Solomon, a metaphor of God knowing his people. Mixed metaphor perhaps this morning with that one and the sheep. I don't want to get that mixed up, but both of them are saying the same thing. Both of them speaking of this relationship, this personal oneness. I know them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. When I seek them, I'll find them. When I speak, they shall hear and shall live. When I go and get them and put them on my shoulders and bring them to the fold, they'll come to the fold. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Is that love? I don't know how you could find anything that's any more love than that. The cross and what Christ did. Romans chapter 6, let's just read about that love and what happened on that cross. Where Christ gave to his sheep, or that shepherd gave to his sheep, eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. Romans 6 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I give my life for those sheep, and I give unto those sheep eternal life. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. God proves his love. God shows his love. God expresses his love. God declares his love. In nothing else could it be. There's never been love like this before. Never will be expressed like this again. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that the love of the Father? Sure. That he would give his only begotten Son. Is that the love of the Son? Sure. They're both God. And God expresses his love. He commendeth his love in the death of Jesus Christ, that the shepherd was willing to die for those sheep, that the husband was willing to die for his bride, that the Father was willing to give his Son, that they might have eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We shall have that eternal life. We shall live with him. I give unto them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When Christ secures them into the fold, there'll be none that'll ever be cast away. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. To him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again the last day. None can pluck one out of that hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. These words are strong doctrinal statements, but these words are deep expressions of Jesus' feelings for the ones he called my sheep. A couple more places let's go to, and we'll try to share with you two more verses that might give us a little bit of an idea, touch our hearts perhaps concerning this shepherd and his relationship to these sheep, his sheep. Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, my shepherd, gathers the lambs with his arm. Picture a shepherd, and there's a lamb. And in his love, he reaches and takes that lamb, and it's in his arm, and carry them in his bosom, them. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. How many lambs do you reckon he can carry at a time? I expect he can carry all that need to be carried, all at the same time. That's a big hand. Those are big arms. And along the way, every time a lamb needs to be picked up and made to feel loved and to be shown that the shepherd cares, that same hand that no man can pluck that lamb out of picks up and carries the lambs along the way, holds them close to his bosom. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Gently lead that flock. Those ewe lambs who have the young little ewe sheep that have the young little lambs, he'll gently lead them. Let me read you words that were spoken by Jacob, but I think perhaps apply to this good shepherd too. Jacob evidently was a good shepherd, a picture of the great shepherd Jesus Christ. Genesis 33:13. And he said unto him, the words of Jacob, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender. The children are tender. Children don't have a lot of strength. They can't go too fast. You have to ease along with them. You can't push them too hard. My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. I've got these flocks with me. I've got these sheep who are tender. I've got these lambs among the flock. My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and the herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. If I should push them just a little too hard, they couldn't make it. So I'll go at their speed. And I'll be patient with them. And I could go a lot faster without them. But they'll set my pace. Because if I was to push them too hard, they wouldn't make it. And they're going to make it. They're mine. My sheep. My shepherd. Perhaps we may can think about the feelings that one of his little sheep might have toward him. My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Personal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. That's a strong statement. Faith and confidence in the shepherd. My shepherd. Faith and confidence in my shepherd. That gives me total assurance for the rest of my days. I shall not want. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know he's never failed me yet. I know he hath saved, and I know he does save, and I know he will save. And faith to face a future with confidence is such a blessing for the present. I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, and I'm in his fold. And when I need to be carried, he'll pick me up. And when I need to go slower, he slows down. And whatever I need, it's always been there. And it always will be. What a statement. For a little helpless, weak, wayward sheep to be able to make. No strength of his own, but find strength in his shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Those are natural things. Things for the outward man. Things for the sustaining of the body. Physical needs that we have in this world. We're told to be content with food and raiment. That's not my nature. That's the command. That's the promise. Green pastures from which to find food that I need. Still waters from which to drink. So many ways could be gone with these expressions. He that thirsts, let him come. Come to the water of life freely. Drink of that which Jesus gives. Feast upon that manna, that crumb from His table, that daily bread. Practically speaking, I was talking to a woman a few days ago. She's about my age. She related to me her childhood. She was the oldest of 7 when her father passed away. She was a young teenager and they were staggered on down to 3. Mama eked out a living for us. I said, were you ever hungry? Some nights I went to bed and I could have eaten more. That's what she said. I said, I've never felt that in my life. In the post-depression days, my dad has told me something that happened that had stuck with me for years. I don't know the details exactly. I just remember the statement. He was in the home eating with another family. And the father made the statement, take a big bite of onion and a little bite of cornbread. I observed 3 or 4 men this week, their daily routine, from a distance. They would begin early in the day, drinking, smoking cigarettes, and they'd pass out. Police would come and stir them up a little bit, and rouse them up, and then finally go away. And they'd sit back down. And along towards sunset, they would trudge off somewhere to return the next morning, about daylight. But by the grace of God, the Lord is my shepherd. I have plenty to eat and plenty to drink. I have never known what it is to suffer the needs of the flesh. And more important than the outward man, the inward man, He restoreth my soul. Where the real feelings are, He restoreth my soul where it really matters. Where it hurts the most to be hungry and thirsty is in the soul that's empty. Habakkuk, in terrible times of starvation, probably, Jerusalem surrounded, they were starving them out, and he didn't understand. And God explained some things to him. And God restored his soul. Not his situation, but his soul. The enemy were still there. The waves were still boisterous. And with that condition of a restored soul, he said, it doesn't really matter if the figs don't blossom, if the crops don't grow, if the food's not here. If the sheep and the cattle be destroyed, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. That's an inward man. Taking charge. Overcoming the outward. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. By his shepherd. That's who does it for us. But by the grace of God, we'd not know those feelings of peace on the inside. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He directs my paths, marks my step, changes my ways, converts me continually. The process of conversion, how beautiful is it? Peter, arrogant, high-minded, confident in self. They may all deny you, Lord, but not me. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, when I've led you down another path of righteousness for my name's sake, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren for my name's sake. For my glory, you strengthen those around you. You live your life. You walk your ways. You do your thing to honor me after you're converted. He was converted. Jesus looked upon him. Their eyes met, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus would encounter Peter later, just a few days later. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love me. Love you. Look into my heart. One day, you'll be crucified for me. You shall be crucified for me. But until then, you follow me. Peter converted to a way of following the Lord, now confident in the Lord's statement that he would stand firm the next time and be willing to die and not deny. Just one illustration of him leading us in paths of righteousness, of him working in us that which is well pleasing to him, of him working his ways in our will and in our ways. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We have a song. Hold thou thy word. Some versions, cross. Hold thou thy cross before my dying eyes. When we face that dreaded moment, if we can see his cross or his word or him, that ought to take away the fear, oughtn't it? He says it will. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. You'll be there, Lord. Stephen, is the statement true? Is Jesus there when it counts? Is he there when we pass over? With the stones crushing the life out of the outer man, the inner man. Sees Jesus standing. And what that inner man saw motivated the outer man to say, "Father, forgive him." That's Christianity in action. That's the Lord being with us at that dreaded moment. And even causing us to say something for His name's sake, perhaps. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." The chastisement of the shepherd on a sheep that would tend adrift. "Know ye not that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth? His rod and His staff," such comfort, such assurance that we're sons and not bastards, as Hebrews 12 speaks of the difference. The shepherd who cares, cares enough to chide. One particular song, when I was a child, we sang it to cheer and to chide. Somewhere along the way it got changed to cheer and to guide. Either way is okay. But there's comfort in the chiding of a loving father or a shepherd who knows the right way for the sheep to go. "Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Preparest a table. Allow me to eat. Feast. Prepare a table. It's not a sack lunch. That's a Thanksgiving dinner. That's a banquet. "In the presence of my enemies. Just when they think they've got me." Paul and Silas at midnight, having been beaten, singing praises, feasting at the table, the heavenly table of spiritual rejoicing, in the presence of their enemies. My shepherd can give me that state of mind, no matter the circumstances, no matter the enemy, no matter what might stand against me. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." The oil of gladness, the Spirit poured out. 1 John 1 and 20, the unction of the Holy Ghost. That word means to pour upon or to smear upon. "Thou anointest my head with oil." You smear me with the Holy Ghost. You anoint me with your Spirit. The joy of gladness. In that 1 John chapter 2, it speaks of that anointing of the Holy Ghost, where you don't have to be taught of God, it's just something you feel. Don't have to be taught of men, it's just something you feel from God. And that anointing abideth in you forever. And now you abide in that. In that Holy Spirit that the shepherd anoints us with, my shepherd. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." The optimist cup is half full. The pessimist cup, it's half empty. The sheep's cup runs over. We've got them all beat, don't we? My cup runneth over, because my shepherd keeps me full. This world has emptiness, vanity, vexation of spirit. But my shepherd fills that emptiness, that void in the heart that only He can fill. And my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That full assurance of faith, the just shall live by faith, that confidence in the days that remain here. It's a sure thing. Truly, surely, goodness and mercy brought to me by that shepherd, given to me from that shepherd, shall follow me all the days of my life. And then after that, there's a hope. Now there's a hope. After that, there's reality. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will, after this life, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Expressions of a sheep toward my shepherd. Expressions of my shepherd towards the one he calls my sheep. Truths, doctrinal truths in both passages. Feelings of love, warmth, connection, oneness, commitment, confidence, things our heart needs, things our minds need. My sheep, my shepherd.